supposed to be light. We are supposed to be light and salt. And the light of the glorious gospel. Remember when it penetrated your mind and your heart? And you called upon Christ to forgive you, a sinner, and took out of the clutches of hell and put you in heaven? Heaven bound. Hallelujah. Beulah Land, we're coming. All because of Christ. Well, it's that glorious gospel. And through that gospel, we have been reconciled unto God. Sin has parted us, separated us from God. Reconciliation through salvation and by faith, we are reconciled unto God. And by the way, that is the ministry that you and I have. We're going to read about that. But reconciliation is not just salvation. Just so you know, God has provided the means that every one of us, our relationships, are to be reconciled. We're not to carry issues with others. With God first, be saved, reconciled unto God, and then reconciled unto others whom we love or even acquaintances. Reconciliation. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read the first 7 verses and a quick review of the first 2 points, and we'll do the other 3 today. Verse 1. Therefore, this is Paul, the apostle, writing to these believers in Corinth. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Oh, we have a ministry. So let's pay attention to what that is. As we have received mercy, yeah, we're saved, we faint not. Stay with it. Stay at it. Stay at what? This ministry. Well, what is it? Well, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're to share something, some truth with them. The honest to goodness truth, and not add to it, take away from it, not to use our great oratory skills. Just give them the gospel. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And you probably have testimony where the devil had blinded you through the distractions of this world for years before the glorious gospel light penetrated your mind and heart and you got saved. Well, the devil's involved in that, which believe not. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Paul says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we talked about that. And I opened up a couple of Thursday nights ago with just the thought of, gee, how thankful I am that I am saved. I'm thankful. There was no greater day in my life. The day you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were forgiven of your sins. There is no greater day in your heart. Well, it was a wonderful day when I got married. Yes, it was, but not like the day you went from a hell-bound sinner to a heaven-bound sinner. What a day. What a day. And that is through somebody else. God uses people who either provided verbally or through a track or whatnot, or handing you a Bible, giving you counsel. So God uses people to shine the glorious gospel light. I'm thankful for the people God used in my life, that they were faithful to share, to pursue, because they saw it as a ministry to reconcile, the ministry of reconciliation. They felt it was their responsibility, God-given, to share the gospel that I might be reconciled unto God. And, of course, that responsibility is passed on to you and I. We've all been given that same ministry, that same ministry. And that was the first point, the ministry. And quickly look at 2 Corinthians 5, very next chapter there. And notice with me, beginning of verse 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Outside of Jesus, there is no reconciling with God. How can the holiness of God be reconciled or have communion or mix with sinful man? Only by the merits of Christ. And so he reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we're talking about the ministry. You have this ministry. And so do I. verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. See, when you're reconciled unto God, you are forgiven all of my sins which should be imputed or that I should be held accountable for, have been paid for in full in Christ, and hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. So we have that ministry. We are to share that word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So get saved and then work to get others saved. That's your ministry. So, how are you doing in that regard? The Bible says you have that ministry of reconciliation. How many people have you talked to about Jesus? How many tracts have you given out? What efforts are being made in your life to get people reconciled to God? You see, we have that ministry. And so we moved on to point two. And point two was the message, the ministry of the message. And we talked about how that Paul didn't preach Paul. He didn't preach how great he was. And he was a great man, a great servant of God. But he didn't preach Paul. People don't get saved through Paul, right? People don't get saved through you and I. He preached Christ. Christ crucified. Verse 5 in our text, 2 Corinthians 4. Notice, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're just the servants. We preach Christ. Paul preached Christ. I'll read you 1 Corinthians 1, 21 to 23, what Paul says. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. All the wisdom of the world, all the intellectual minds of this world don't know God. They got it all figured out. The scientists are still camped on this theory of evolution, acknowledging that it is a theory because they have no proof of this theory. But they've got all the answers. Science has all the answers. God created science. He is the creator. So it's not about the wisdom of this world who knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. He made it very simple. That's the message. I mean, listen, brethren, when you and I make effort to reconcile, get people reconciled to God, we can talk about the weather. We can talk about sports. We can talk about shopping. We can talk about this, that, all these different things. But they're not going to get saved. You have to talk about Christ. You have to talk about Jesus. You got to make that transition for the glory of God and for the salvation of their souls. That's the message. We have that ministry. Share the message. Not about ourselves, but about Christ. Because we're called his ambassadors. His ambassadors. Again, chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors represent someone else, not themselves. We have United States has ambassadors in many countries throughout the world. They're not representing themselves. They represent our nation, our country. We're to represent God. We're to represent Christ. We are his ambassadors. So the message is Christ, Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that the gospel was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Preach him crucified. That's the message. So, we talked about that a couple of Thursday nights ago. So now we're brought up to snuff if you weren't there. This ministry that we all have of reconciliation, it deals with the ministry that you and I have and the message. The three other points are this: the mandate, the might, and the motivation. And we'll tackle these now over these next 15, 16, 17 minutes, okay? First one, the mandate. I see this in verse 6. Again, our text in 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Okay, so we got God doing what? Commanding. Now, you probably remember those old commercials on TV, and all of a sudden, E.F. Hutton would say something, and everybody would stop, and they'd all lean and listen. Why? Well, apparently when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. For you and I, the born-again believer, the child of God, when God speaks, we should listen. And he gives command. So God here is not giving suggestions. Food for thought. Hey, have you ever considered maybe talking to someone about my son? Doesn't say that. This ministry of reconciliation is a big deal with God. We are his chosen ambassadors. And we are to share that message. It is a mandate. Now, mandate is defined as this. An authoritative command, a formal order from a superior official to an inferior one. Well, he couldn't get more superior, and we couldn't get more inferior. Amen? And we have this mandate, this command of Almighty God who saved my soul and has given me the joys and pleasures not only in the life to come, but in this life in pursuit of that life. How can we keep that to ourselves? Pardon me. We've been given a mandate, marching orders, a commission. And look at the first part of 6 again, how it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and we are his ambassadors to do that shining. We've been put in trust in with the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. So we're pleasing God, yet he commanded it. It's a mandate. Tell others about my son. Preach Christ crucified. And the amazing thing is this superior speaking down to the inferior, saying to the inferior, I'm going to use you. Me? Us? Sinful man, holy God, creator, all-powerful, no power. He's going to use us. That's his plan. It's an amazing thought. We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You've been entrusted. You bear some authority in the Word of God to share and the responsibility to share. And I thought about that. Will be an illustration. Here's an illustration. Somebody is in need of a heart transplant. An accident has occurred somewhere in the nation. You know what they do? The person had filled out for being a donor, organ donor. They passed on. And that precious heart is still available. And then this heart has got to get from here to here. They alert the person, all the matching. Yes, we've got a heart, we believe. Go to the hospital, they prep the person. This heart has to get to here. And you know who's going to get it there? Some courier. It's put in some special case and all these things. And that courier has got to get it to the hospital. You see scenes every once in a while, they show how they come in and running into the hospital, and then they receive it, and the doctors run back to the operating room. Urgency. What a great responsibility. I mean, you got a heart that could give somebody life. And you, oh, McDonald's, I think I'll stop and have a fry. My car is filthy. I think I'm going to take a pass through the car wash. All the distractions that the devil puts before you and me. We have the most precious cargo. It's not a fleshly beating heart. It's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This heart will give that person life, extended life. The message we have gives them eternal life. And you're an ambassador. You're a courier. How wonderful are you? How important are you? And by the way, you're commanded. You have a mandate. You have the commission. The church has a great commission. Going into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We have that mandate. Romans 10 says this, verses 14 to 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Talk about the gospel, the beautiful gospel light. You know why there's missionaries all over there in all these countries? Because they understand they can't believe in someone they don't even know, they've never heard of. So they carry that glorious gospel light. The same glorious gospel light you and I carry around here to people we interact with. It continues. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. It is a happy thing. It is a wonderful message to share. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe. So we shouldn't be ashamed. We should be thrilled. Read this. You need to read this. Or better yet, talk and engage as you have opportunity and time. You're an ambassador. You represent God Almighty. You represent Christ. And you're carrying life. You're a courier. You're carrying life, eternal, the message. We carry the mandate all the while acknowledging that he was merciful enough and gracious enough to have opened our eyes with the glorious gospel light. Again, verse 6 of the text. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in our hearts. He first brought it to us. We aren't ambassadors till we first receive the glorious gospel light. And we're born into his family. He reached down for us, and he wants to reach out to others. And he does it through others. How thankful I are for the people that were instrumental in my salvation. And I trust that you and I can be that people as we are commanded. We have that mandate. So the ministry, reconciliation. The message, Christ crucified. The mandate, go. Do it. Share it. The glorious gospel life. Be the ambassador. The might. So you're supposed to go, but where do you go? In what power do you go? Verse 7. Notice. But we have this treasure, and indeed it is, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it's not within our power. God doesn't send us to do all these things in our own power. Those Christians that do and try to live the Christian life in their own power, they tire out and they become often discouraged, sometimes even disillusioned with their faith, because they're trying to live an impossible life because it's impossible, because it's not within our power to do so. We live in this flesh. This flesh does not want to live the Christian life. It wants to serve self. He wants to enjoy the pleasures, the distractions that the devil has all around us. So it has to be done in the power of God. He which hath done begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Philippians 1:6. His might, God's power is revealed in the fact that this soul-saving, life-changing, divine gospel light is borne by earthen vessels. That's sinful men. That's an amazing thing. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I quoted earlier, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Let me ask you this. What plate or bowl, fork or knife, or any other utensil can take any credit whatsoever for the meal? So too, we are but vessels. But make no mistake, we are useful and needful. Now, I suppose I could eat a lasagna with my fingers. But you know, they got these clever little inventions called the fork, which I'm well accustomed to using. And we use these utensils. Now, have you ever, after a great meal, said, wow, what a great fork. what a massive plate. No, you say, oh, that food was so good. Compliments to the chef, not to the utensils. That's a picture of you and I as the ambassadors, the couriers. The message is preaching Christ, Christ crucified, not us. And it's in his might, his power. We were but the utensils. There isn't one fork that ever come up off the plate, grabbed the scoop, and put it in my mouth. Not one. But how important are the utensils? You know, how do you eat your steak without your knife to cut that? To cut a portion thick, red, and juicy. All right, let's close in prayer. We need the knife, though. You see what I'm saying? The steak is the important thing, but we need the knife. We're but utensils. We're needed. We're necessary. Not for glory. But how do you get a steak into someone's mouth? It's that thick. It's red. Delicious. It's wonderful. I mean, yeah, we could go back in time, grab that baby and do it. And if I had to, But we have a sharp knife and a fork. Cut that. How wonderful it is. It facilitates getting that to my mouth. You and I are facilitators. We're couriers. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are so important. If you don't do it, it's not getting done. And you can't say, well, someone else will do it. Just get another fork. No, this steak's in front of you, and there's one fork on the table. It's you. Only you can reach the people in your sphere of influence. You can't say, well, call the preacher. Would you go witness to something? And I'm not opposed to that when people ask me. I do, gladly. But the role is yours, not mine, exclusively. You don't sit a bunch of people around the table and pass the one fork around, do you? I mean, you need the fork, you need the knife, and you have none. You done? Okay. And then you pass it around like it's some golden fork. No, it's not a matter of someone else. It's me. It's you. It's you where you're at with the people that you're near, you're around. You do it in the power of God. We're but vessels, but useful vessels. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power if that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses. You shall be the courier. You shall be the ambassador. You shall be that utensil to shine the glorious gospel light in that soul over there. And don't call for some other fork. You're the fork. So we talk about the ministry, reconciliation, the message, Christ crucified, the mandate, go, do it. The might, it's in God's power. He said, well, I could never do that. I'm not bold enough. The boldness comes from God. Seek yourself and saturate yourself in your walk with God, and you'll want to. Lastly, we come to this one, the motivation. What motivates us? What drives us? Well, God's glory does, and the thought of eternal souls of men. Now, notice verse 15. Bible says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of Paul. Is that what your Bible says? It doesn't say for Paul's glory, does it? It says it might redound to the glory of God, that God receives glory. Hey, God got glory the day I got saved. And anytime somebody gets saved, God gets glory. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Your existence should be for the glory of God. The one who washed your sins away, took you in as his very own son or daughter, and has given you an inheritance in heaven throughout eternity. deserves glory. He deserves praise. That's why we gather on Sunday to sing praise and glory to our God, the Savior of our soul, the lover of our soul, the author of our salvation. That should motivate us to glorify God, but also the eternal souls of men should matter. Romans 10:1, Paul says this, because he was burdened as a Jew, as a Hebrew. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, my people, is that they might be saved." Nothing else mattered to Paul. He received the mandate, gave the message that God prescribed for him, and in the power, in the might of God, was doing all he could as an ambassador to get them reconciled unto God. He wanted Israel to be saved. He was concerned about their eternal souls. So should we. The glory of God and the souls of men should drive us in spite of trials and tribulations. And by the way, we got a minute. Let's look now at the same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice now, we've read 1 through 7. It all sounds wonderful and powerful, but it's not without trials and tribulations. Follow with me now. We begin in verse 8. Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." So Paul says, "I'll give everything, my whole life, I'll do it all for your souls, that you would get saved, in spite of going through all this." And brethren, here in America, we're not called to go through much. We have such liberty and freedom to share the gospel. Some of these countries, it's a scary thing for them and their families. And yet they do it. Could we not be faithful? Could we not be more faithful here? Could we not be motivated for the eternal souls of men? 1 Corinthians, beyond the glory of God and a heart's desire for the souls of men. You know what God puts in the book? He tells us about rewards. Now, why would he do that? To help us, help motivate us. We help motivate our children. I'll give you an ice cream if you get that shoveled. You know. Now, there's such a thing as duty you're supposed to do, because I tell you. But every once in a while, a little motivation. How wonderful that is. 1 Corinthians 3:14, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." It's the words of God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." God's intention is to reward us, as if heaven isn't enough. Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly," Jesus said, "and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be, as faithful as an ambassador you have been." 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." The rewards of heaven. All right, so light brings life. We know it. We experience it ourselves. We're bound by God's command to share that light. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you for this ministry of reconciliation. The fact that we could be your very ambassadors and represent Jesus Christ. That you would use us, earthen vessels, sinners, yet saved sinners. Sinners nonetheless, but you use us, Father, give that glorious gospel light to others. Help us to be motivated, to desire to do it, to be faithful in answering the mandate, the command you've given us, and may we please you and seek to glorify you in all things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.